Hello. You are listening to the Carol Connection. With your host, Jared Carol.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Carol Connection, here to bring you guys another fantastic episode. I did want to take a chance to shout out my last episode with Ayne Kitt-Cotwell and Isaac Elgary. That was episode 22, and we talked a lot about their nationalities and like some of the things that they experienced growing up and just going through and what their parents went through traveling to the United States. And it was a very cool episode to do because I've never really had a perspective like that. But if you haven't checked it out, it's on thecarolconnection.simplecast.com. Or obviously Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the major listening platforms. So check that out, please. Today, I'm with another great guest by the name of Jordan Claygraf. How are you doing, Jordan?
Good, how are you?
Doing great. Glad you could come out here and do this episode with me, and especially a lot of people with this COVID stuff. It's got a lot of people scared, and just coming on the podcast and being open with yourself, I think that's something to be proud of, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. So let's start off with just introducing yourself and talking about what you've been up to.
All right. So I'm Jordan. I am a makeup artist. I work a lot. So I work as a freelance makeup artist, and I work at a Sephora, and I work at a Massage Envy as an esthetician. So I have a couple of jobs, but I'm always very busy. And over quarantine, it's been pretty interesting, to say the least. I was laid off from both of my jobs, which is unfortunate, but obviously nobody can go into a Sephora or go into a Massage Envy. But I've just been at home trying to keep myself busy, as I'm sure you have too.
Yeah. It's very hard too. Like, there's a lot of stuff, like, because obviously information keeps changing. Like,
yep.
I mean, you look at where we are compared to like a few months ago when things are completely different. Like, facts have changed. Like, people are out and doing stuff as things open
right.
up. Like, we can talk a little bit about this quarantine stuff since you brought it up. Since obviously you're very hands on with a lot of your work, like, how have things been now that things are starting to open up? Like, how has that process been going on with everything that you're doing?
So as of now, like as of July 1st, the laws have changed a little bit. So they're allowing makeup artists to start working on clients again. Obviously, I do need to wear a mask, but the client can get their makeup done without a mask on, obviously. So I just started to do makeup again. I just picked up a couple of weddings. So yeah, it's been interesting. I obviously have to keep everything sanitary. You know, like just trying to do everything as protocol calls for.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of rules to follow. There's a lot of sanitary things that I have to follow, but obviously that's for the health and safety of myself and my clients.
Yeah. Was it something that you had to get? Like, do, like, a training course for that, or is it
they do have training courses for it, like, barbicide trainings and disinfectant trainings and stuff like that. It's not required, but obviously it makes you look a little bit better when you have correct trainings under your belt.
Yeah.
So,
did you get worried at first, like, about being so close and personal with people? Like, I know some people kind of have the right to choose if they want to do that work right now, and, like, same thing with, like, barbers and all that stuff, like, I know my barbershop had recently opened up, and, like, I was one of the first people that went there. Like, I was like, I needed my haircut.
Yeah.
But, like, were you ever nervous about getting back into it? Because, like, obviously there's not, like, there's a vaccine or anything right now, so, like, things are kind of still up in the air.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I'm still worried about it a little bit. I mean, I'm up close and personal with people every day, and a mask only helps you so much.
Yeah.
But I have to trust that my clients feel okay when they come in for an appointment, and that they're not showing any symptoms, and that they haven't exposed themselves to any people that may be sick. I just have to kind of put my trust in my clients and hope that, you know, if they didn't feel well, they wouldn't come in for an appointment.
Yeah, definitely. So what kind of led you to get into this career? Because obviously we're going to be heavy into the makeup discussion a little bit further, but like the other stuff, like what kind of led you to get into that versus like doing, I don't know, literally anything? Like, what made you go into these careers?
Sure. So probably 5 years ago, I started doing makeup, like, professionally or, like, on people, on clients. Back when I was, like, 12, 13 years old, I was just obsessed with watching, like, makeup videos. I thought they were so interesting. And that's all I wanted to watch. Like, that's what I spent my time doing when I wasn't in school. So I was like, wow, like, let me do it on myself. So I started practicing makeup on myself, and I wasn't good, but I enjoyed it, and mm-hmm. it was something fun for me. So when I realized that people would reach out and they were like, hey, can you do my makeup? I was like, oh, like I can make a living off of this and I enjoy it. So why not? So I built a kit for myself. It's very expensive. It took me a long time to get all of my supplies together that are sanitary, obviously, that are used on clients only. But it has been worth it. I, you know, like I said, I slowly built it up, but then I started working on clients and it's been crazy. I was only getting like one or two clients like a month, and now I have so many people who reach out to me weekly who want services done, and it's amazing.
That's fantastic. And yeah. I will just say, you do a fantastic job with everyone. And just plug your Instagram really quick too.
So it's Clegg, K-L-E-G dot art.
Check that out, please. I'll also be tagging her in all the posts that I do, but she does a fantastic job, people. And if you ever need to get contact with her, come through me or go through her Instagram, any of that, please do. And talk to me a little bit more about, since we're getting into makeup, was just how it really impacted you. Obviously, growing up, makeup with women is just such, like, it's kind of in your face a little bit, too. Like, I think we get into this topic a little bit, too. Sometimes it's, like, it's sometimes over-sexualized with women, too, which is, like, unfortunate. And I think we need to talk about more, especially men need to be talking about these things, like, the inequalities that women face and the injustices that women face through years and years, and things don't change. Yeah. But with makeup, I know you touched on it a little bit, but like, why is it your passion? Like, why do you enjoy it so much?
So at first it was a thing that I was just really insecure and I felt like I needed to wear makeup. So, and I was the only, I have four sisters and none of them wore makeup, or if they did, it was like very minimal. So I was the first daughter of, you know, my parents that I was like, I want to go and buy makeup mm-hmm. at like 12 years old. My parents were like, you don't need makeup. Like, you're beautiful. You don't need that sort of thing. But I was like, no, like, I want it. Like, my friends are wearing it. You know, I want to feel beautiful too. So my parents were like, all right, fine. So they let me like buy like drugstore, like wicked cheap, like makeup, like $1 makeup. And they were like, here, you can have this. And I was like, okay. So I just went with it. And so like I said, at first it was just I wanted to wear it because of confidence. And mm-hmm. then I realized it's more of an art.
Definitely.
And you can do so many things with makeup alone. Like, you can change what you look like completely or do something fun. Or like, I do a lot of Halloween makeup too. So I love that too.
I love that you do that. It's like, I like how you said that too. It's literally art. Like, yeah. I think that's like awesome to recognize and awesome to talk about. Like, there's so much creative aspect to it. And that's huge when we talk about passion and talk about things that we enjoy doing. Like, there's a lot of creativity that goes into making a podcast and like wording things differently in every episode and talking to people about their different experiences and like creating content and mm-hmm. like pushing stuff like that. Because obviously you have to create content too for your social medias. And like, how do you go about that? Like, is there certain like angles that you work that are better that you think, or are there certain like, do you have certain lighting? Like, how do you go through the process of when you're doing the makeup to creating content too for your social medias?
So, I mean, my content is like, I have a picture of myself like with makeup that I do, and then a client, and then myself, and then a client. So that's how mm-hmm. my feed goes. I have a ring light that I use for my clients and for myself. That obviously, like, makeup has to be done under good lighting, or else you're going to walk out and you're going to be orange, or it's going to be like muddy and gross, and like nobody wants that. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, as far as like angles and stuff, like, it's just like I just take tons of pictures mm-hmm. and I just hope that it looks okay.
It looks fantastic. Yeah. I'll keep saying that. So, I know we talked a little bit about family too. Kind of talk to me a little bit the impact that your family had growing up and some of the values that they taught you.
So I have a huge family. I don't know if you know that, but no, I have seven siblings, wow. all from the same parents.
I knew you did have siblings, but I didn't know it was seven. That's
so
crazy.
There's a lot of us, and I'm very lucky. We're all super close to each other. We all live relatively close to each other. Mm-hmm. The age ranges now from 19 to like 36.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I have seven nieces and nephews too.
Like, oh, wow.
There's a lot of us.
So to say, family is really important to you.
Family is very important to me. And like I said, I'm so lucky that we're all close. And yeah, but I grew up, like, obviously with all of my siblings in one house. Mm-hmm. And I was taught that, you know, like, I had to work for what I have. And because my dad is a super hard worker, my mom was lucky enough to stay home with us and, you know, raise us. But my dad worked, like, literally 6 to 4 every day. He's a contractor. And I look up to him. Like, he's amazing. He does so much work. He's worked so hard for his entire life. And I've learned a lot from him. Just, like, you have to work for what you have. And, you know, if you want something, you got to go and get it. Like, nothing's going to be handed to you. And I really respect that because it's made me the kind of person that I am. Like, I have a really good work ethic. And I don't know, like, I just, like, I feel like that's something that a lot of people need to see. Like, you need to work for what you have. Like, nothing is really ever going to be handed to you. And, like, that's life.
Absolutely. I think a lot of people struggle. That was something that I was taught too at a young age, was how to work hard.
Yeah.
Like, you might not have everything that you want. You might not ever get everything you want.
Right.
At the end of the day, that's life, though. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes you don't get what you want, you get what you need.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people don't get taught how to work hard and how to be loving and caring about other people. And sometimes it's not even your parents' fault too for not teaching things like that, because sometimes they weren't taught that, and that becomes on the responsibility of your own self too. It's something I realize, is being able to teach yourself how to be more understanding to people, and like how to be more caring and loving and trying to understand where people come from with different perspectives, because we all have different things and experiences that we've gone through that shape us to who we are.
Yeah.
And that relates to the podcast and just different stories that I hear from different people and like where they come from. Cause like, we've never really had a conversation that has gotten deep like this. I mean, it's been like, I think we talked about before, it's been like 5 years since I've seen you in person. So like, to sit down and have a conversation and like hear what you've been up to and like listen and like really understand, like, it's awesome. Like, you get a new take on someone's life that you could take a piece of and go forward with your life.
Yep.
Hearing what you do with makeup and stuff, like, I see it, like, I support it and I love it, because like, it's your passion. I love seeing people who have something going like that, and you can clearly tell that you're passionate about it. Like, it's awesome. Like, it just it makes me happy, because like, you can tell it makes you happy,
right?
And that's something that I think a lot of people struggle with right now, is finding that thing, because sometimes you go your entire life and you never find it.
Yeah.
But I think Ankit said in my last episode, sometimes it's not about that destination. It's about the whole journey, the whole process.
Yeah.
And sometimes like people get so caught up as like they want to get rich quick and like get from point A to point B. Yeah. And like, it's not always about that. It's about that struggle. It's about that journey. And like, we all go through our different battles and trials and tribulations, and it's a struggle. Like, I mean, I've talked about it openly on multiple episodes about mental health, and we'll get into that later too. But sticking to family, was it like a struggle growing up with like 7 siblings? Like, was like sharing like an issue? Was like the family dynamic? That seems like that's a lot going on there. Like,
yeah, it's definitely interesting. It was interesting growing up. Like, we all shared rooms. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a large house, so there was enough room for all of us. But yeah, like, sharing, like, of course, me and my little siblings, like, would, like, get into fights about things. But for the most part, I feel like we were pretty good. Like, obviously, my mom was there along, you know, all the time. So she raised us very well and, like, to behave and not, you know, fight each other all the time. And to just be good to each other, because we're siblings and, you know.
You gotta have love for your siblings at the end of the day, absolutely. Right? Absolutely. That's something, me and my brother's always butt heads, and like, at the end of the day, it's brother stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it just like, it comes with the territory, like, but it's all love at the end of the day, and like, it's super important. Did you ever notice, switching towards like makeup, that when you first started, like, that you were scared to put yourself out like that? Like, like, talk to me about like finally breaking through that and just being like, you know what? I'm going to do this because I love to do this, not because I care what other people think about it.
Right. So I had, like, I started my makeup page, like, 5 years ago, maybe, like, 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was just pictures of me, because I was really only doing, like, makeup on myself. And they weren't great pictures. Like, I had an iPhone, like, 3. They were blurry. they weren't great. But it was what I loved to do, and I had, like, 25 followers. And they were all people I knew, and they were all my family members being like, yeah, good for you, like, go for it. But I was like, you know what? Like, I don't care. Like, this is what I'm enjoying. Like, I love just sitting at home and doing my makeup. Like, that's what I did when I got out of school. Like, that's what I did on the weekends. That's what I did whenever I had free time. So, you know, everyone was like, oh, I wonder what Jordan's going to be wearing today. Like, what color eyeshadow is she going to have on? And, like, that was exciting for me. Like, I liked that that's what people thought of when they thought of me. So...
That's really, I like that. I like how you worded that too. Just like, once you kind of find that too, because I've noticed that too, just doing the podcast, like when I come in contact to people, like, it's crazy to me. Like people just like, oh, I listened to this and like that episode. And like, I like what you said about that. And like, it's like people listen, like you, when you start something like that, like your own page like that, or like the podcast, or like, I've had people like Tracy Moskowitz with her fitness stuff, or Angela with his fitness stuff, or Taylor Agnew with his health diet stuff. Like, you never know how it's going to be received by people. You do it because you want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then usually, for the most part, it's a positive like feedback. Like, I've noticed these for mine, and you probably noticed that too, for a lot of your stuff was positive for the most part. Like, because there is negative people out there. Like, I've definitely gotten negative stuff from mine. Talk to me a little bit, because I don't know to the extent of how much negative feedback you ever got, but like, if you ever got that, how you kind of dealt with that?
Yeah, so I've definitely received a couple of weird things, to say the least. I've had random people like come upon my Instagram page and be like, oh, you look like a frog, or like, you're wearing too much makeup. Like, I don't know why the frog thing just sticks in my head, but like, someone was like, you look like a frog, and I was like, okay, like, that doesn't make any, like, whatever. Like, okay.
Fuck, or
like, you wear too much makeup, or like, that's too much, or like, nobody likes somebody that wears that much makeup. And it's like, well, that's fine, I'm not wearing makeup for you, I'm wearing makeup for myself.
Love
and
that.
It's what I like, you know, and most women aren't wearing makeup to appease anybody else. They're wearing
fucking
it because
that.
They like it, and it makes them feel good. And I think nobody should have a problem with that.
That's a big thing too, that maybe, I'm not saying that I do this whatsoever, but there's this thing out there where men almost like attack women for wearing makeup like that, or wearing certain clothing. It's like, they're not doing that to impress you or the men in the world. Like, they're doing it because they feel confident about themselves, and they love to do that. Yeah. And they love to wear that. Like, I'm very open in talking about that stuff, because I just, like, there's so much bullshit attached with men that are just like, it's trash. There's a lot of trash ass men out there. And like, it goes both ways, like, for sure.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
Like I'm not a fan of the hot girl summer stuff. Like, I'll put it on record. I think that's just like, there's some negative to it. Like, I love Meg Thee Stallion. I think she's a fucking fantastic rapper. I'll bump that shit. But like, there's negative connotations to that. And like, it's the same thing with fuckboy energy. Like, it's the same type of stuff. Like, two wrongs don't always make a right. But like, do you at the same time. Like, I will never tell someone not to do them. But, and I support women in power. I love that. Like, I love seeing a woman empowered, and I love seeing a strong woman. And you are a strong woman.
Thank you.
And everyone who's come on the podcast, you all are strong women. Like, I'm not going to name them all, cause don't feel like doing that, but you know who you are. You know who've been on the podcast. Like, check out those episodes, because I love having women come on the podcast and talk about themselves, because it's a new perspective. And not a lot of people always even ask the questions or feel comfortable talking to women about stuff like this. And like, I'm super open. I'm super comfortable talking about this, because I support that shit. Like, I want you to feel empowered. I want that. Like, it's like, for so long, I feel like women have been put down by society, and like, the inequalities, and like, still inequalities. We're in 2020 and there's still this bullshit going on. Yeah. Like, it's so not fair. Like, talking with this stuff, is there any situation where, like, I know you just talked about that, where people were saying negative stuff about your makeup, but that you felt like you were being like judged differently because you're a woman in society doing makeup? Like, have you ever felt those pressures from people?
Yeah, I mean, when I first started, I definitely felt those sort of pressures, where it's like, people are like, why are you doing that? Like, what's the point? Like, you're not going to do anything with that. Like, you can't make anything of doing makeup. Like, makeup's not going to make you money, or like, you know, just like stupid stuff like that. And I was like, okay, maybe you're right. But I'm enjoying it, and this is what makes me happy. So, like, I don't really care what you think. But I'm very lucky. Like, the amount of people that follow me now and support what I do mm-hmm. is incredible. And the makeup community in Rhode Island and in Massachusetts is fantastic. There's a lot of women that do wedding and bridal makeup. And yeah, I'm competitors with them, but at the same time, we're all like in it together.
Yeah, like, how is that? Is that like a network of people that you can connect with and like share ideas with?
It's a pretty big network of women that do makeup, and I'm pretty sure I follow the majority of them on Instagram, on Facebook, their websites. And it's incredible. Like, if I need help with something, I'm going to reach out to one of them and they can answer it for me, or vice versa. Mm. And it's like, we share ideas and we share like tips and tricks and like, oh, like, what do you do if like a client does this? Or like, what do you do if a client has this? And it's very supportive. And like, I'm very grateful for that. I think it's amazing. And yeah.
Women supporting women is huge. That's a huge thing. Like, talk to me more about that, like in the sense of just like, we're talking about women's rights, women in power. Like, how have you gone about it to like embody that strong ideals of just being a strong woman in today's society?
I mean, it's definitely not easy to feel like, I don't know, to come off as this like strong woman, but I've just had to like fake it and just, I don't know, fake it till you make it. Like, I just keep doing what I'm doing because it's what I enjoy, and that's what I want people to see that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, like,
by you doing that, you can inspire someone too. Because like,
right.
I think a lot of women have a lot of things that they don't talk about too in general. I mean, some of the experiences that they have, whether it's negative, whether it's dealing with family, whether it's dealing with certain men in their lives or women, not judging anything, but like, people experience different things that make them go through certain traumas in their life. And as we get towards, we'll talk about mental health and stuff, because I have some stuff that I will talk about too. But I think people overlook that stuff, and especially the mental aspect of that, not trying to understand where people come from and what type of traumas that they've dealt with, especially women. I think women deal with a lot of stuff. I mean, I talked about in the last episode, there was a post, basically a woman could have her pictures posted and leaked and it could ruin her career, but a man could have rape charges and still be the fucking president.
Yeah.
That's not okay.
No, it's not.
It's an absolutely fucking disgrace. And the two men who are running for president, who are the two main candidates of both parties, both have allegations against them and both have charges and all this stuff. We're doing something fucking wrong.
Yeah.
Like, not to get to politics. I told you I wasn't going to do it. But like, I'm just making an example. Like, people in power,
right,
have this stuff against them and they can still be there. But a woman just gets her pictures leaked, and there's a problem with that?
You ruin everything.
It's fucking, it's disgusting. Like, yeah. That pisses me off. And I think more men need to have that conversation. Even just, like, with your guy friends. Like, check them when they say some fucking pig-ass shit or some stupid stuff. Like,
absolutely.
Check people when they say some racist-ass shit. Check people when they say some fucking shit against gay, trans, and, like, lesbians. Like, say that shit. Like, when this shit's, like, not okay, like, it's 2020. Like, it's time to start checking people when they say some fucked
absolutely.
Up shit. Like,
yeah.
It just, I hate that. Like, why can't you just have respect for everybody? Like,
right. There's no reason not to.
Yeah. It's just like, why? Like, it boggles my mind how you could have hate in your heart for someone that you might not even know, or know
yep.
their whole life experience could have led them to where they are and how they act. Like, mm-hmm. everyone deserves a right to be happy. Everyone deserves a right to be human.
Yeah.
Like, to take that away from someone is just doesn't make sense to me.
No,
like,
it doesn't make any sense.
Like, and I'm very open about it. Like, I love talking about women in power. I love talking about that stuff. That's why, hence, I have someone like you on to talk about it with, and even to educate me. Cause like, I don't know everything. I don't pretend like I know everything. Like, absolutely not. So like, to have someone like you on, and like even my past women guests that I've been on, like, just that experience and like going through everything you've gone through in life, like, allows me to be a better human being at the end of the day and treat people with better respect. And like, it's important to me. I think it's important to have these conversations and be open and honest and real about it. Like, it's annoying when people are afraid to have these conversations, because sometimes it's uncomfortable to have these conversations,
but you should be having uncomfortable conversations.
Exactly. With uncomfortable conversations, like, is there any, like, have you ever had to, like, check someone for saying some stupid shit, and, like, whether it is about race or women or anything in general, even just something negative towards what you do in your life. Like, you ever had to like check someone for saying some stuff that you disagreed with?
Absolutely. So fun fact, I sold cars for a little while. Yeah.
How did that go?
it was actually, I really enjoyed it, but I left because of the main manager. And my issues with him was, oh, well, women shouldn't be selling cars. Well, like, women should be at home and they should be providing for their family in other ways. And, you know, they are just there to have children and to take care of the husband. And that's it. And for a while, I kind of just let it slide and I would ignore it. And, you know, every time he would make, you know, sly comments like, oh, like, women are useless, I would ignore it. But finally, after a couple of months, I was like, you know, that's not funny, right? And he was like, oh, well, don't be sensitive. Like, that's not a big deal. And it's just like, well, you know what? Like, that hurts my feelings because I'm a woman. I work for you. And you're disrespecting me and you're disrespecting other women. And it's not cool. And he was like, oh, whatever. I'm just not going to say that stuff around you anymore. And it's like, okay, well, you shouldn't say it in general. It's just not nice. Like, is that how you talk to your wife? Is that how you talk to your daughter? Like, is that how you want people treating your wife and daughter? Because I sure don't think so. Like, so I left that job because of him, and I don't regret it at all. I made a lot of money selling cars, but it was not worth it for the way I was treated.
Absolutely. Like, that is a I commend you for doing that, because that is such a hard thing to do, to leave a job, too, where, especially where you're making good money and stuff like that. Because I've had to do that in my own life and leave a job that was, I was in a toxic situation and like not being treated fairly. Like, I don't know if I've talked about too much on the podcast, but just being judged, like, honestly, height, not taking time off, like, all these different things. And like, I know I never try to get into it too deeply because like, I just let it go at that point. Because like, I'm not going to let someone's comments affect me. But like, that stuff was just like unnecessary. And especially in a professional atmosphere, you don't need that type of toxic. And I talk about toxic masculinity a lot. I made a post about it, and I think it's a fucking huge issue. And it goes, it, obviously, things can go both ways. It can be toxic on both sides, but masculinity, there's a huge fucking issue with it, because I think men are afraid, a lot of men are afraid to talk about their emotions and their feelings. Yep. And it's, I'm not one of those people. Like, yeah. I am very open with who I am. I try to be positive, but like, you have slip-ups. You're not going to be positive all the time, and it happens, and it happens to the best of us. But I talk a lot about toxic masculinity. And with that, I think a lot of men are taught, especially at an early age, I mean, shit, I was kind of taught, you hear it all the time, like, just even playing sports, man up.
Yep.
You don't cry. Get up. Like, shake it off. Like, you, real men don't cry.
Don't be a girl.
Literally, that one like makes me mad. It's like, are you saying girls aren't tough? You saying girls can't do that? Like, by saying that, like, it's a very outdated statement, obviously. Older generations kind of always used to say that, and like, when you really think about it, it's like, what are you really saying there?
Yeah.
And like, that shit pissed me off, because like, I have women in my life who fucking kick my ass, like, straight up, like, straight up, like, and I respect the fuck out of those people. And like, there's a lot of men that don't respect women, straight up. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't think that they could do some of the things that they could do. And it's wrong. Like, it's absolutely, like, wrong. Like, I know a lot fucking tougher women than some of the fucking people who I know in my life that are men.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you guys really ain't shit. Like, you guys haven't really been through fucking anything compared to some of these, like, women that I have in my life. And they're very fucking strong people, and I respect them. Just in talking about mental health, we'll make the transition to mental health, because that's something that's super important to me, and I know it is to you as well. In terms of just the COVID stuff, how has that really affected your mental health?
Okay, so the beginning was not that great. Like, I'm gonna admit it, like, it wasn't great. Like, I would stay in bed a lot longer than I should have, and I wouldn't get out of bed, and I would just stay in my room all day. And I found myself falling back into old habits that I used to, and I was like, oh my God, like, I can't let myself do this anymore. It's not healthy. It's, you know, I was like eating too much and I was just spending my time doing nothing. And I was like, I have to be productive. I have to do stuff for myself and try to keep myself occupied, even though there's not much to do at home, but, you know, I had to get outside. I had to go on hikes. I had to, you know, spend time with the people that I could spend time with. Obviously, I wasn't, you know, going out, but, you know, I have siblings that I could see, and I just had to make the best of, you know, quarantine and what we were going through.
With quarantine, like, I had the same type of stuff, too, where I think for this area, the Massachusetts, Rhode Island area, it was easier to be quarantined because the weather wasn't great in the beginning. Yeah. So, like, I think that also kind of helped where we are with case numbers right now. I think that's why we're better off than a lot of the states right now, because we did really kind of lock stuff down for the most part, and we stopped people from working and traveling. And I think that's why you see the cases are down in this area specifically. But in terms of the quarantine, I had to go through the same stuff. Like, you're like, dang, like, stuck at home. Yep. Can't go anywhere. Like, you don't know what to do. Like, completely knocks you off the game. I mean, I'm fortunate enough where, like, I have a gym in, like, my room over there. And, like, it's nothing crazy. Just enough to get some stuff done and, like, stay active. And, like, the hardest part, too, is definitely, like you said, is eating. Like, you get bored and, like, you're just, like, that's something, like, I try to think about, too, is just, like, am I eating because I'm hungry or am I eating because I'm bored?
Yep.
Because, like, that's where you can get in trouble. And I try, like, I try to give myself slack during quarantine because, like, it's unusual. This is unusual territory for everybody. And, like, I've talked about that with multiple people. I'm like, you have to acknowledge the fact that this really has a huge impact on your mental health. It's, like, it's almost unchecked. Like, people don't, like, that's, they don't even talk about it in the news. Like, I heard it through podcasts and stuff, but, like, mainstream media don't even talk about the mental health. Nope. Like, I'm pretty sure it was on Joe Rogan's podcast, and I know I love Joe Rogan. I'm always talking about Joe Rogan, but he talked about, I forget what guest, but, like, suicide rates were, like, through the roof. Like, people were losing businesses. People were losing family members. People were, like, who can't see their therapist in person, who can't do all these things. Like, they're going crazy. Like, stuck at home. Like, and the news isn't talking about that.
Nope.
They're talking stupid-ass politics and scaring people with COVID stuff, and then changing the information daily or weekly. It's like, how about we actually get the information right before we just start spreading stuff? Yep. And that was a huge thing, especially early on. Like, if you looked at the reports early on, it's just like, there's so many different reports. You look at now, it's like, I can't believe they even said that stuff. Like, it's like not even true. Like, World Health Organizations are saying this stuff and flipping back and forth. It's sad. But in terms of, like, the mental health stuff, like, is there, did you ever have to, like, kind of build yourself, like, a little schedule to kind of hold yourself more accountable?
Yeah, I definitely was like, okay, what am I going to do to make this day productive and not stay in bed all day? So I finally started seeing my personal trainer again. So that got me out of the house because he'll meet me at the park and, you know, we social distance, like, work out together. And, like, shout out to him. Like, he's awesome. And so that, you know, got me started for the day so that I was up and then I wasn't in bed anymore. And then it's like, all right, well, maybe I'll do makeup or I'll organize my kit or I'll, I don't know, reach out to some friends that I haven't talked to in a little while.
Those are good habits that, cause like, that's what I try to do is try to build myself a schedule and like being away allowed me to be more comfortable doing FaceTimes and stuff like that. I don't know if you had used FaceTime like that more during the quarantine. Cause like, it's hard cause you can't see people. So like that's where I always talk about, like, technology being, like, a tool, not supposed to be the only avenue of communication. But in a time like this, this is why technology is so fantastic. Like, it allows you to just do, like, Zoom calls or Skype calls or, like, FaceTimes, like, especially with, like, older, like, generations, like, grandparents and things like that, where you can't really go and see some of these people. Right. Like, that's where it's a useful tool, and, like, I think a lot of people are taking more advantage of that, and that's fantastic to see. Seeing how many people have come together, too, in a time like this. Like, there is a lot of good that can be found in the negative. And, like, I wish more people would address that. Like, you don't really see them talking about the positive stuff and, like, the mainstream news. It's always the negative stuff. And it's like, who is that really helping? Like, we're all going through stuff. We're all mentally struggling to, like, realize, like, this is the new normal. There's no going back to that normal. Like, people struggle with that. So, like, dealing with this new normal, how, like, you going forward, how are you planning to try to approach that in terms of just, we're talking mental health?
I'm going to try to make sure that I'm always busy, because mm-hmm. that has always been something for me that's kept me like sane, like, which is why I'm pretty much a workaholic. That's why I work 3 jobs, but that's what keeps me sane. Like, that's what keeps me focused and, you know, ready to take on the day. Like, I have stuff to do, and I'm just going to continue to try to, you know, keep my schedule full. And if I'm, you know, I have a day off or something, that I plan to do something, whether that's with my family or with a friend or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to keep myself busy. And
it's important to like you say, when you get those days off, to like, for self-care, just taking care of yourself, taking care of your mind. Like, and I want people to realize it's okay to take a day for your head.
Absolutely.
Like, got to clear your head, got to clear your headspace. Like, something I've been really getting into, because I talked in my last episodes, I'm a few weeks into therapy now, and like, I've been going through my own mental struggles, my own mental battles, and like, I'm very public about that. I mean, if anyone ever wants to talk about therapy, especially the men out there, there's a huge stigma with therapy and men going to therapy and asking for help, because we're taught not to. Like, we're taught to, like, you're not strong if you don't do that, when it's actually the fucking opposite. You're super strong to actually acknowledge the fact that, like, you have stuff that you need to work on and you want to go see help. And there's nothing wrong with that. And when I talk about therapy, I want people to understand I'm not doing it for attention. I don't care about attention towards that. I do it to normalize it.
Right.
Like, therapy needs to be normalized. And also, I mean, we're talking about therapy costs. Like, therapy can be really expensive for a lot of people. So, like, that's why a lot of people don't do it. And if that's the case, I mean, we talked about before, life coaching. Like, if you ever need a life coach, maybe look into that if you can't afford therapy. Like, yeah, it's 2 different things. And, like, we're talking about certifications versus, like, actual licensing and, like, schooling. But, like, both are positive and both go towards making you a better person and
Absolutely,
helping you.
Yeah.
So, like, I think that's important. I don't know if you'd feel comfortable talking about this, but in therapy in general, for me, I've been learning how to do journaling better, like how to be more accountable with my thoughts, like meditating.
Yep.
Meditating has been huge for me, like, and building a pattern to take my mind off the things that were affecting me negatively. So what I would do is, I still do this, I'll wake up at like 7 a.m. before I go to work, I'll run to the pond, Gamino Pond near me, find a body of water, meditate for like 10 minutes, and like, something I've done recently is positive affirmations. So like, I am happy, I am positive, I am caring, I am loving, like, saying 5 of those things and like, daily, just puts me in a better mood.
Yeah.
Like, and then journaling is so awesome, like, because it really makes you think about what you're thinking and to put it into words. And it's fun to look at and read. And like, my therapist challenges me a lot to like, what were you feeling this week? What was the trend in like, your journal notes this week? Like, what was going on? And like, holding me accountable, someone to hold you accountable, is something that I've valued a lot. And I don't know if you want to touch upon any of your experiences with that.
Yeah, I mean, for me, my therapist has always been like, all right, you need to get in touch with yourself when you're not doing well. Like, don't ignore it. Don't push it away. Don't, you know, just shove it under the rug. You have to try and get in touch with what you're feeling and understand why you're feeling it. And I think that is something that a lot of people should learn to do, because it really makes you step back from, you know, whatever you're feeling. And it's like, okay, well, I'm feeling this because whatever. And what am I going to do to make myself feel better?
I love that. Some people are going to laugh when I say this, because like, I say it all the fucking time. Feel your feelings.
Yep.
It is clear as day. Like, that is my message. Like, that is something I've been like rolling with, especially recently. Because people ignore it. Like you're saying, like, don't push it under the rug. Feel what you're feeling now. Because if you push it away, it's just going to come back in a different form. Something's going to happen and might trigger you to have those emotions, and boom, you're right back to square one.
Right.
And it's okay to have those relapses. I mean, everyone does. Like, it's just something that people don't talk about. And that's why I talk about it. Like, I'm comfortable talking about it because I'm not a perfect human being whatsoever. Yeah. I go through my own battles, and like, being open to like, talk about it, maybe I inspire someone to be like, if Jared does it, or if Jordan does it, like, I could do it too. Maybe like, going to someone's okay, and like, it's not so scary. Because that first step, I'll never lie to nobody. Like, that was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do, to, like, ask for help. Mm-hmm. Like, no one wants to ask for that type of stuff, because, like, you almost, because we're, it's instilled in us to think it's, like, it's weak, but it's not. That's one of the strongest things you could do. It's self-awareness. Self-awareness is crucial in terms of mental health.
Yeah.
To see the trends, to see the things that are going wrong, not even in just yourself, but other people, too, that you care about. To talk to them, to reach out to those people. And being understanding of mental health is so important. I think a lot of people don't take the time to truly acknowledge how important mental health is. Because obviously we talk about physical health. Physical health is everything. But mental health, if your mind's not working right, nothing's going to work right. The whole body's just not going to work right. So, like, being self-aware, is there a time where you realized that self-awareness was super key in your own life? And, like, in terms of just your own emotions, your own feelings?
Yeah, I mean, I go through it all the time. Like, if I'm ignoring what I'm feeling, it just gets worse. Mm. And it's not healthy. Like you said, it's not healthy to bottle things up, because then you're just going to explode. So being self-aware is super important. I think it is for everybody, not just myself, not just for you. Regardless of if you're going through something or not, just in general, I think being self-aware and being like, okay, like, why am I feeling this way? And what am I going to do for it?
That's really well said. I love that. Because, like, most people just, maybe it's a trauma response for a lot of people, and they just don't have those coping tools to do, to understand and work through those things. But, like, someone said to me recently, sometimes people go to therapy to deal with people who need therapy. And, yep. Like, it's kind of funny to think about like that, because, like, it's low-key kind of true.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's so many people out there in the world who could benefit from therapy.
Absolutely. Like, I think everybody can benefit from therapy in one way or another. It doesn't mean you need to go every week. It doesn't mean you need to go all the time. But seeing somebody every once in a while, even if you're not going through anything, it's just good to have different perspective to hear, you know, like, oh, well, maybe you could try this instead of this. Or, like, you know, if something made you upset, like, it's good to talk to somebody who's not going to judge you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I love, that's one of the major reasons why I wanted to, and eventually, and I'm doing it now, is to get that unbiased opinion from someone who knows nothing about your life, who's just going to ask you about what's going on, ask you about why you feel the way you feel, to dig a little deeper, and then give you real ass advice.
Yeah.
Like, someone who's gone to school for it, someone who knows this stuff, who's done it for years. Like, and obviously now with COVID stuff, it's a little difficult to find therapists and, like, find people who want to, but they are doing virtual calls. Like, that's something I'm doing now, and mm-hmm. I have no problem doing that. I love it. I love my therapist. She's fantastic. Yeah. Like, and I mean, I got lucky. Like, first try, I found someone, yeah, and I just, like, it worked. Like, it's like she was exactly what I needed. And it's not like that for everybody, too. No. Like, and it's okay to have multiple therapists, yeah, too. Normalize that. Like, people think it's got to be like a doctor. Like, you stick with one, and that's who you got to go with. And it's not true.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who will say, oh, well, therapy didn't work for me. And it's like, well, did you try?
Mm.
Did you really put in the effort that you need to put in? Because it's not just one way. It's not just somebody telling you what to do. It's you telling them, you know, what's going on, and then them saying, all right, well, maybe you should try this, this, and that. And then you actually, you know, acting on what they tell you to do, or to try anyway.
Exactly. It's that action part.
Yeah.
There's people struggle. I'm big on action over words.
Yep.
You could say whatever the fuck you want to say. You could present yourself and whatever you want to say. But if your actions aren't lining up with what you're saying you're going to do or saying you want to do, it's meaningless. Actions are everything. So if you're not actively working on the things that, say, you're getting from therapy or a life coach or anything in general, if you're not actively doing those things that you're getting advice to, then, like, not, like, you're not wasting time, but, like, you're not trying to get better.
Yeah, it's not gonna work if you're not trying.
Exactly. You have to try. And, like, not even try, it's more just, like, because, like, you can try, but, like, if you're not actively, like, continuing to do it, because you can fall off the horse. It's okay to fall down and fall off your path. Like, I'll be the first one to say, like, I've definitely fallen off my path recently, and I'm hopping back on and, like, feeling that positive energy again, because, like, it's okay to be negative. It's okay to be sad.
Yeah.
I don't think, that's something I'm trying to normalize. Like, it's okay to feel your feelings. It's okay to be sad. Like, you don't gotta be happy all the time. Like, I've gotten jokes or sometimes like I'm not in the best mood and stuff. It's like, come on, Mr. Positivity. And it's like, makes me roll my eyes. I'm like, just because like I'm presenting a message of positivity and trying to be that voice and trying to be that type of person doesn't mean I'm happy all the time. Right. Like, I'm human.
Yeah.
Like, everyone has emotions. Everyone has feelings. And I feel them. I allow myself to feel them because I know myself. And like you talked about, bottling up is not okay. Because one, you're hurting yourself, and you might hurt other people too on top of that. And that's not what it's about. That's what life's not about that. I'm all about trying to help people. I want people to feel like it's okay to like talk about themselves and talk about their feelings and working to be better. Collectively as a whole, like I think if we all work to be better on ourselves, then we could help each other all be better. And it's like a team thing. Like, and that's what I try to do through this podcast. I'm trying to build a network of people who want to be better, who actively are positive people, who have their passions and their goals and aspirations, and like we share them with people. And that's why I appreciate the fuck out of you for coming on here and talking about this stuff with me. Like, it's awesome. Like, because it is scary, like sitting in front of a microphone, understanding that people are going to listen to it and people are going to have their opinions and their perspectives, but we're both strong enough people to be like, I don't really care what people think about me at the end of the day. I'm happy with myself.
Yeah.
I love myself. Like, getting to that point is very difficult for a lot of people because there was definitely points in my life where I didn't love who I was.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes a lot of self-reflection to understand that, for sure. Was there any points in your own life where you doubted yourself early on? And like, obviously now you're very confident. Like, I definitely, like, I'd say you're confident. You might disagree with me, but
thank you.
I mean, putting yourself out there the way you do takes a certain level of confidence and a certain level of love for yourself to do. Because like, I know a lot of people who would be afraid to do what you do. So it takes a lot of confidence to do what you do. And that's why like I wanted to have you on the podcast, because one, you're a supporter, which I always appreciate the most. And two, you're not afraid to be out there.
Yeah.
Like, it takes courage, and you have that. And like, I respect the fuck out of that. I respect the fuck out of anyone who can do something like that. But like, was there any points where you doubted yourself early on? And like, because obviously you talked about in the beginning where like you were not sure about starting the makeup page and like that stuff, but climbing over that mental aspect, like, how was that for you?
It was tough. I was like, can I even do this? Like, is it worth it for me to do what I'm doing? And it was scary. And like, I have my entire life, I've been up and down like mentally.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was low, I was like, screw it. Like, I can't do this. Like, what's the point? And then I would come back from it and be like, all right, no, like, I can do this. Like, it's worth it. You know, people support me. And, you know, like, it's what I love to do. So why am I, you know, stopping myself?
That is right there. That is it. You stop yourself.
Yeah.
No one ever stops you from doing what you want to do. People will give their two cents, but at the end of the day, it's you.
Yeah.
Like, that was something when I came into the podcast, like, I was always scared of, like, are people going to want to be on the podcast? Is it, like, you have all these self-doubts, and, like, I think it's normal to have those self-doubts, because, I mean, I think maybe it might be a trauma response where you're trying to protect yourself from, like, hurt, but, like, you power through it. You're like, you know what? I'm going to put myself out there. I'm going to be happy about what I do, and because it's creative, it's exciting, it's new, it's fun, and like, I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Just like you enjoy doing makeup, and like, fuck what anyone else has to say about that shit. Like, I don't care. Like, if you don't like what my message is, or you don't like Jordan's makeup, then fucking unfollow or go do something else. Like, not everyone's passion or their project, whatever they're working on, is for you. Like, not every message is for you. And if you can't get something from that, take your negative ass and go somewhere else. Like, I don't need that. You don't need that. And anyone else who's been on the podcast or listens to the podcast, we don't need that. No one wants the negativity in their lives. So, like, I have no problem telling people just fucking skedaddle. I don't need that. Like, I don't fucking need that. Like, it's one of those things. It's a confidence thing. And, like, I'm not saying I'm fucking high and pride out here with my ego, because, like, ego is one of the worst fucking things, in my opinion. Like, if you have a shit-ass ego, you're a shit-ass person. Like, and that comes in terms of just mental health and tackling your own mental health and understanding, like, checking yourself. People don't check themselves.
No.
We talked about checking other people. but check your own self.
Yeah.
That's a big thing. Has there ever been a moment when you had to kind of like check yourself and be like, Jordan, like kind of wake the fuck up. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. I mean, it happens all the time. Like, I definitely, like, if I get upset or if I get angry, I have to step back and I'd be like, why? What am I doing? Like, what's the point? Like, there's so much more to life than being angry or being upset or, you know, dealing with stupid stuff. So I've definitely had to step over some stuff and just been like, all right, see ya. Like, it is what it is.
Like, right there. Sometimes just is what it is.
Yeah.
Like, There's certain aspects where, like, I'll come at people when they say that. Because, like, sometimes there's you could do more than that. But in certain situations, I'm definitely, like, there's only so much you can do at a certain point. You could try as hard as you can, but sometimes those cards just aren't in your hand for certain aspects of your life. But in terms of the podcast, we are coming up towards the later half of it. So is there anything in specific that you wanted to come onto this podcast and talk about before I kind of, like, start wrapping up with what we need to do here?
No, I mean, like you brought up, like, just normalize therapy and normalize talking about mental health. I think that's so important, you know, and I've talked about it on my page. Like, I'm very open with being like, yeah, I've struggled and I've been there. But, you know, I want other people to realize that, like, it's okay. Like, you'll be okay. But the first thing you have to do is, like, reach out to people and get the help that you need, because it's not worth it living your life being miserable or being depressed or dealing with whatever you're dealing with. You know, just reach out, get the help you need, because at the end of the day, it's not worth living your life miserably.
I love that. That was really well said. Like, clip that. But so as we come towards the end of this podcast, I usually ask the same question to everybody. And that question is, what would your advice be to someone who is pursuing their passion?
Just do it. Like, just do it. If there is somebody holding you back from your passion, maybe you don't need them in your life. Like, I think everyone should be able to do what they love as long as they're not hurting anybody. Mm-hmm. If you're not hurting anyone, then go for it. Do whatever the hell you want. Like, you know, it's your life. Like, you got to make of it what you can. So do what you want.
Well fucking said. So I appreciate you for taking time out of your day to come do the podcast with me. Like, this has been fantastic, and people are going to get some real good value. We had a really great conversation, especially about therapy and stuff. That was fantastic. And, like, I appreciate you opening up with me about your experiences. And I know sometimes it's an uncomfortable conversation to have with people, but for us, I feel like that went really well. And, like,
yeah, no, absolutely.
It was awesome to do. And, like, hopefully we can try to, like, normalize this with everybody. Like, it's okay to go through your feelings, feel your feelings. And just, again, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Appreciate it. So I'll do my little spiel now. So if you guys like the podcast, please rate it, review it, share it with your friends, your family. Tell your grandma about it. I appreciate it. You can check it out, thecarolconnection.simplecast.com. I'm also available Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the major listening platforms. Until next time, guys. Bye.